Bob was, to say the least, a captain of industry. He developed and formulated wonderful corporations that involved oversight for a number of people. But Bob had drifted away from the practice of his faith, drifted away from Catholicism, and there's one great equalizer that affects all of us, and that's called disease. Bob was told that he had stage 4 bone cancer. And although all the great medical technicians would be there offering him all sorts of support in terms of chemotherapy and radiation and those various things, he knew he had a short time left here on Earth. I was contacted and had the privilege of guiding and directing Bob. It was the last part of his life. He said he felt a little bit hypocritical now coming back to God, and even though his wife and his children had all continued to profess the faith and he supported them in it, he was pretty much a Christer, you know, Christmas and Easter, and that was mainly because of the family. But he said, you know, Father Jerry, it seems like I turned my back on God. Now I want to turn around and embrace God and want to say it. I feel almost hypocritical in doing it. And I said, Bob, I said, you know, God never left you. He's always been there for you. So the important thing is to reignite that relationship. They only have a short time. I said, reignite the relationship. And you'll find that God has been there for you all the time, and God will even let you know of the importance of that relationship. Well, Bob pledged that what he was going to do was he was not only going to go to Sunday Mass, but he was going to go to daily Mass. The parish that he had was a fairly large parish, some 4,400 Catholic families, so it was a fairly large parish that he was a part of. And going to daily Mass, you know, for us means, you know, trying to hop in the car, traveling 10, 15 minutes, hopping out, getting there just before the priest starts Mass, experiencing the daily liturgy, which I applaud anybody who does that because there really is a sense of tremendous commitment that's a part of it, and then hopping in the car and then going off to work. Not for Bob. For Bob, he had to get up 2 hours early because of the pain of the bone cancer. The ability to wash and to dress himself so that he could go over. And he had to arrive pretty much 25 minutes to 30 minutes ahead of time so he could park his car and then make his way with his walker, very proud man, make his way with his walker into the church. He'd been doing this for, oh my gosh, about 3 to 4 weeks. And he came back to me and said, you know, Father Jerry, I'm doing all this. Now, does it make a difference? Does prayer make a difference? Does it make a difference? I said, it certainly makes a difference in your relationship with God. God knows that basically you're bringing yourself before him. And I said, certainly makes a difference in terms of praying, surrendering yourself and praying for others. So it's just not, you know, directing it on yourself. I said, but Bob, you got to listen because God's probably speaking to you all around you and maybe just not listening. 2 weeks later, he came in for the normal spiritual direction, had a big smile on his face. He said, Father Jerry, he says, I was listening. I said, you were? And he said, yeah. He was in the back of church. He says, as I normally do, and get there, you know, that half hour early so I can get there 10 minutes before Mass so I can get in. And I was kneeling down in the back of the church. And there was this lady who came up to me. He says, I didn't know her at all, and she tapped me on the shoulder. And she said to me, she said, you know, sir, she didn't know him. I just want to tell you, she says, I see you coming to Mass every day, struggling with the walker, coming to Mass, kneeling down, praying, surrendering yourself to God. And I just want to tell you that I draw strength from seeing you do that every day. I draw strength into myself. And she says, what I am is, she was a nurse, sister nurse. She was religious, who worked in the end stages of hospice, dealing with individuals who basically were in the last stages of their life being turned over to God. And she said, sometimes, she says, I feel so much in terms of emptiness and aloneness, and I feel so apart. And I wonder sometimes, where is God in all this? She says, I come to Mass in the morning and I see you, and you strengthen me to do the task of being present to these individuals who are turning their life over to God. Father Jerry, he says, prayer makes a difference. We're not always aware of what that prayer does and how it motivates and pushes us, but it makes a difference. It makes a difference because at the very basis and foundation of everything we do, anything that we are concerned with, anything we address in our society has to be formulated in and through charity. The love of God, the love for the other. Sometimes we like to take a look at the New Testament and focus on the fact that charity or love is only a part and only addressed in the New Testament. But here today, we have a wonderful statement from the book of Isaiah where you can see immediately that the direction by God is to reach out to neighbor, to reach out to those in need, and to demonstrate that by our willingness to turn over what we have, because all that we have comes from God. Share your bread with the hungry, shelter the oppressed and the homeless, clothe the naked when you see them, and do not turn your back on your own. When it comes to that second reading, we see in St. Paul the aspect of preaching a Christ crucified. For the world, that crucifix is weakness. We're looking at someone basically who has been condemned to death, is dying on the cross. But for the believer, when the believer sees that cross, it is the act of divine love for us. It is the act of Jesus surrendering himself so that we might have life and that we might overcome those things in this world which block us from our relationship with God. You are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. Time and time again, when I'm doing confirmations, it is not uncommon at all to find at the side of the young man or young woman being confirmed a grandparent. And they will proudly say, when I say, now why did you choose this person? Well, they'll smile and they'll say, because I don't know of anyone who has greater faith than my grandmother, than my grandfather. I don't know if anyone has more faith. And I want a piece of what they have. That wonderful aspect of life illuminates a longing, a desire that all of us have to be in an understanding of the love of God in our lives. And the confidence that we have that God is guiding and directing us. Do we understand, each and every one of us individually, that God has a plan for us? God has his plan for us. We pray that we may not be an obstacle to that plan, but we may be the salt, that we may give flavor to God's plan, so that we may touch and inspire those people that surround us to understand the great love of God in our lives. Just so your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.